The House, please come to order. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
The roll shows 34 members present.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, no member is excused from the call of the House today.
Will the members please rise for the invocation by Pastor Milton S. Hunt, Resurrection Lutheran Church. Representative Fanning.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread on the journal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the prayer will be spread on the journal. This brings us to certification of the journal. Will the clerk please certify the journal for the 113th and 114th legislative days?
Mr. Speaker, I would like to certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 113th and 114th legislative days in accordance with the rules.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journals for the 113th, 114th legislative days be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. This brings us to introduction of guests or the guest for introduction. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, in Gallery B, a friend of mine for many, many years, now residing in Soldotna. He's here in Juneau. Representing the AARP, the Alaska Association of Retired Persons. Please help me to welcome Mr. Stanley Herman.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
Message dated May 4th. Stating that the governor has signed the following bill and has transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. Conference committee substitute for House Bill number 29, making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to restore partial year funding for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 1982, and providing for an effective date, Chapter 26, SLA 1982. I have a message dated May 4th stating that, on behalf of Governor Hammond, Keith Specking, legislative assistant to the governor, has transmitted the following engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 640, Judiciary, amended Senate, relating to games of chance and contests of skill and providing for an effective date, Chapter 27, 1982. I have a message dated May 4th stating that the governor has read the following resolution and has transmitted the engrossed and enrolled copies to the lieutenant governor's office for permanent filing. Senate concurrent resolution number 54 amended, honoring E.J. Ernie Haugen, legislative resolve number 10.
Are there messages from the Senate?
Yes. I have a message dated May 4th. Stating that the Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 101, Second Finance, Motor Fuel Tax, AS 4340, effective date, with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for House Bill 101, Finance, state taxation effective date and transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 176, Health, Education, and Social Services amended, temporary relief assistance effective date with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 176 rules, making a supplemental appropriation for the operation of the legislature effective date and transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 206, Judiciary, termination of rental agreements of mobile park dwellers and tenants with the following amendment, page 1, lines 10 and 11. After the word provision, insert, comma, enforceable under AS 34-3-130, comma. And so, committee substitute for House Bill 206, Judiciary, amended Senate, is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has passed House Bill number 386, Business Corporations, with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for House Bill 386 rules. Business corporations, reinstatement of certain dissolved Alaska Native Claim Settlement Act village corporations to corporate status, effective date, and transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has passed committee substitute for House Bill number 756, Finance amended, Fire Suppression Fund, effective date, with the following amendment. Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 756, Finance, same title, and transmitting same for consideration. The Senate has failed to concur in the House amendments to Senate Bill number 103, Special Appropriation to the Legislative Council for a Salmon Quality Control Education Program effective date, namely House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 103, Second Finance, amended House, making and transferring among appropriations, making former appropriations to the Emergency Operating Expenses Account available for the Fishery Product Revolving Loan Fund, effective date, and respectfully request the House to recede from its amendments. In the event the House fails to recede, the President appointed a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the House to consider the bills. The members of this conference committee are Senator Mulcahy, Chairman, Senator Dankworth, and Senator Tertula.
The House please stand at ease.
Mr. Speaker, so that we can get a conference going on Senate Bill 103 at this time, I move the House concur in Senate amendments to Senate Bill 103 and ask the members to vote no.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I believe the motion is I move the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 103 and ask the members to vote no.
I believe that's correct. Representative Halford, I'm going to rule your first motion out of order. Will you restate the motion, Representative Halford?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House recede from our amendment to Senate Bill 103 and ask the members to vote no.
Representative Brown? House, please stand at ease. We have a motion by the Majority Leader that the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 103. Will the clerk please read the bill?
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 103, Second Finance, by the Finance Committee, entitled, An Act Making and Transferring Among Appropriations, Making Former Appropriations to the Emergency Operating Expenses Account Available for the Fishery Product Revolving Loan Fund and Providing for an Effective Date.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 103? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows no yeas, 39 nays.
So the House has failed to recede from its amendments to Senate Bill 103. At this time, I'd like to appoint a conference committee consisting of Representative Halford, Chairman, Representative Sutcliffe, and Representative Gardner. Are there further messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Other communications?
No.
Reports of standing committees?
Yes, I have a The Finance Committee has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 146, State Affairs Amended, relating to veterans burial allowances under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 146, State Affairs, same title, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. Adams, Chairman, and Meekin signed no recommendation. Members signing do pass were Haugen, Bettesworth, Hurlburt, Carney, Cotton, Chuckwuck, Fuller, and Montgomery. A fiscal note appears in supplement number 49. This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee has had Committee Substitute for Second Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 275, Resources Amended, relating to the compensation of persons collecting hunting and fishing license and tag fees and providing for an effective date, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. Members signing do pass were Adams, Chairman, Haugen, Bettesworth, Carney, Cotton, Chuckwuck, Fuller, and Fuller. Meekins and Montgomery signed no recommendation. This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 545 amended relating to release after conviction of an offense under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 545, Judiciary, same title, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. Adams, Chairman, and Cotton signed no recommendation. Haugen, Bettesworth, Hurlburt, Chuckwuck, Meekins, Fuller, and Montgomery signed do pass. Carney signed do not pass. This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 658, effective date added, increasing the fees for a commercial fishing license and providing for an effective date under consideration and recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 658 Resources entitled An Act Relating to Fees for Licenses and Permits for Commercial Fishing and Providing for an Effective Date, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. Members signing do pass were Adams, Chairman, Haugen, Bettesworth, Hurlburt, Carney, Cotton, Chuckwuck, Meekins, Fuller, and Montgomery. A fiscal note appears in supplement number 49. This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 732, Finance, relating to mineral extractions from state land and providing for an effective date, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 732, Resources, same title, and recommends that it do pass. Adams, Chairman, and Meekin signed no recommendation. Members signing do pass were Haugen, Bettesworth, Hurlburt, Cotton, Chuckwuck, Fuller, and Montgomery. A fiscal note appears in supplement number 49. This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 772, making a special appropriation to the Department of Natural Resources for construction of a plant quarantine station at the Plant Material Center, AS322, operated in cooperation with the Institute of Agricultural Sciences and providing for an effective date, under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. Adams, Chairman, Montgomery, Fuller, and Meekins signed no recommendation. Members signing do pass were Haugen, Bettesworth, Hurlburt, Carney, Chuckwuck, and Cotton. This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. The Finance Committee has had Senate Concurrent Resolution number 44, extending the life of the Blue Ribbon Commission on the State Personnel Act under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it do pass. Members signing do pass were Adams, Chairman, Haugen, Hurlburt, Carney, Cotton, and Fuller. Bettesworth and Chuckwuck signed no recommendation. Meekins and Montgomery signed do not pass. A fiscal note appears in supplement number 49. This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. The Resources Committee has had Sponsor Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution number 10 amended, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to agricultural rights in state lands under consideration and reports it back as follows. Sutcliffe, co-chairman, and Carney signed do pass. Halford signed no recommendation. Fanning signed do not pass. This bill has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 525 relating to land lotteries under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends that it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 525, Finance, entitled An Act Relating to Sale and Lease of State Land, and recommends that it do pass. Adams, Chairman, and Meekin signed no recommendation. Members signing do pass were Haugen, Bettisworth, Hurlburt, Fuller, Carney, Chuckwuck, Cotton, and Montgomery. This bill will be referred to the Rules Committee. Those are all the reports of standing committees.
Reports of special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions?
I have two citations. One in memoriam, Emily Ivanoff Brown, by Representatives Rogers, Brown, Smith, Zaroff, Bettisworth, Randolph, Fanning, Fuller, and Adams, and Senators Parr, Fahrenkamp, and Bennett, and honoring India Spartz by Representative Freeman. These will be referred to the Rules Committee.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of bills.
I have no bills, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that the citation in memoriam, Emily Ivanoff Brown, be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation will be brought before us as a special order of business. Will the clerk please read the citation?
In memoriam, Emily Ivanoff Brown, by Representatives Brown, Rogers, Brown, Smith, Zaroff, Bettisworth, Randolph, Fanning, Fuller, and Adams, and Senators Parr, Fahrenkamp, and Bennett.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the citation.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the citation is adopted. This brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Upon a motion to recess, there will be a Democratic caucus in the Butterfield room.
Before the motion to recess, I'd like to ask for announcements. I have an announcement I'd like to make. I guess rather than an announcement, it's a request. Again, I'd like to ask all members to look over their limbo file and update it. Make sure that you have all the bills. We will be dealing with material in the limbo file either later today or tomorrow. We're starting to get quite a buildup in there, so if everyone would make sure they have their limbo file and that they have everything in order, it would help speed the flow of business. The other announcement I have is that today the plans for the session is that we'll be in session until approximately 12 o'clock. We'll break for 1 hour for lunch and then come back in approximately 1 o'clock and continue in session until 5, at which time I'm asking the committee chairman to schedule their committee meetings. And then Representative Brown and I will come in, and Representative Halford and the clerk and the sergeant of arms will come in at 6:30 to read any messages and bills across the clerk's desk. And that will be the schedule for at least probably for the next 2 or 3 days. That gives everyone an opportunity to be on the floor during the day and let the committees do the work later on. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, could you give us an indication of which bills in limbo file we'll be dealing with today?
I'm going to ask the majority leader to get together with me during the at ease and go over that limbo file, Representative Cotton. I really can't tell you, but we'll tell you as soon as we come back in which ones we're going to be dealing with. But we need to get together and start working on that. Representative Clarkson.
Another request, Mr. Speaker. Just in addition to that, since we will be meeting until 5 today, I'd appreciate as soon as we know what the calendar for tomorrow is, that we get copies of that, or at least draft copies, so we can start preparing to eliminate some of the delay in the mornings.
That is the plan. We'll do everything we can to get it to you at the earliest time. Are there any announcements of committee meetings, changes in schedules? Representative Barnes?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Judiciary Committee will take up Senate Bill 89, amending the child protection laws, Senate Bill 180, municipal government, Senate Bill 193, that deals with I don't have the proper title before me, but it's the State Personnel Act. And Senate Bill 693, it is the court facilities bill.
That's at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Labor and Commerce will change the schedule from 1 o'clock today to 5 o'clock, taking up Senate Bill 45 with his construction bonds.
Representative Adams. Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 on Senate Bill 252, an act relating to grants for water and sewers, and Senate Bill 871, an act relating to relocation of utility facilities.
For the further information of the body, we're probably going to have sessions starting after today at 9 in the morning until 5. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in recess to the call of the chair.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess to the call of the chair. In order to establish a quorum, will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will clerk please take the roll?
The roll shows 27 members present.
It'll be necessary to take another quorum call before we can advance any bills from second to third. During the recess, I believe members should have received on their desk an updated copy of the limbo file dated May 5, 1982. And the question was asked by Representative Cotton before the recess about what bills that are presently on the limbo file we might expect to deal with later today or tomorrow. Does everybody have a copy of the limbo file? Apparently it's not on everybody's desk. It's being passed out right now. Get another quorum thing up there. I'll take another quorum call. Oh, yeah, the two have come in. If everyone now has a copy of the limbo file, the bills that I expect that we'll be dealing with today or early tomorrow, probably late today, would be on the first page, House Bill 187, House Concurrent Resolution 49. On page 2, House Bill 101, House Bill 176, House Bill 206, possibly House Bill 386. We need to check that piece of legislation out, but maybe we'll deal with that. House Bill 756. That's what we expect to deal with today or early tomorrow. Let's take another quorum call. I think we have 30 people on the floor. Will members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Will the clerk please take the roll?
The roll shows 33 members present.
Before the at ease, we were to the consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill number 111, Resources Amended, entitled An Act Relating to Fishing and Hunting License Fees and Fishing Permits and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 111 under consideration, and the committee recommended be replaced with House Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 111, entitled An Act Relating to Fishing and Hunting Licenses, Big Game Tags, and Fishing Permits and Providing for an Effective Date. The Finance Committee also had the bill under consideration. The committee recommended it be replaced with the Resources House Committee substitute and reported it back as follows. Cotton, Chairman, signed due pass, concurred in by Freeman, Moss, and Carney. Haugen, Montgomery, and Rogers had no recommendation. I have House Committee substitute for us.
Representative Halford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Resources Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I wonder if we could get an explanation. It seems obvious. I'd like to have the Resource Committee report read. It's obvious that this piece of legislation was dealt with in the Finance Committee and perhaps even in the Resource Committee last year and not this year by a different organization. And I wonder if we could get the Resource Committee report and perhaps an explanation of why the original bill, which apparently was primarily intended to repeal the $5 king salmon and steelhead tax and add a couple dollars on basic licenses, was changed to include the things that it now does that the version before says.
Will clerk please read the Resource Committee report particularly from the previous legislative session?
This was dated June 1st, 1981. The Resources Committee had the bill under consideration, recommended replace with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 111, Resources, entitled An Act Relating to Fishing and Hunting Licenses, Big Game Tags, and Fishing Permits, and Providing for an Effective Date. The committee reported it back as follows. Jaroff, co-chairman, signed no recommendation. Sutcliffe, do not pass unless amended. Halford, signed do not pass unless amended. Smith had no recommendation. Do pass was signed by Chuckluck, Hurlburt, Bettysworth, Barnes, and Grusendorf.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I would speak in opposition of adopting the Resource Committee substitute, and I would like to point out just a couple of facts, I think, relative to this particular legislation and the changes. What the legislation before us indicates is, of course, several things, but primarily that we want to increase non-resident tag fees, and I don't doubt that there may be some legitimate reason for doing that, even though the state just in 1977 took a particularly big increase, and again in 1973 prior to that. The bill before us shows a 2,000% increase in the price of a black bear tag in less than the last decade. It shows a 1,350% increase in the price of a deer tag. It shows a 300% increase in the price of a wolf tag. And I think everybody in the legislature here knows that this particular body in the state has had a tremendous controversy and problem with predator control, and in fact has encouraged and spent a lot of state money trying to, in many areas, reduce predators. And so for us to even consider a 300% increase in wolf tag, I would submit is ludicrous. And I think that the smallest increase, Mr. Speaker, is that one, is 300%. The rest are 800% for sheep, 1,200% for caribou, and that doesn't make any sense relative either to inflation or to the fact that we've had a tremendous reduction in hunting areas available. In lieu of the fact that such a large percentage of the lands in the state of Alaska are in fact federal lands, and our prices are at a ratio much higher than any other state, that in 1977 the Wildlife Management Institute did a statewide survey and found that the average difference for resident and non-resident tags in most states was about 5.5 to 1, and we're talking here, with the exception of bear and sheep, where there is no resident fee, obviously then of ratios that are 2,000 to 1 or 1,250 to 1 or 800 to 1, I think that it's real obvious that this is it's a policy decision that we can make, but I think that it's a very bad one, and I don't think it will help us either from an economic standpoint, and I suspect that it will leave us open to constitutional challenge. Beyond that, it doesn't meet with what the original intent of the legislation was, and so I would urge people to defeat the adoption of the committee substitute.
Representative Hurlburt.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge the adoption of the Resources Committee substitute, because that was the addition. The last speaker was correct. The addition was the increase in the game tags, and if the members will go through it and look at each one of them, I dare say that they'd agree. If we look at sheep, for instance, the last speaker spoke that he didn't he thought that 400 was too much. I'd like to bring to the members' attention that in the recent years, he's talking about some of the areas of being less areas to hunt in. We've also had a higher qualification of taking the sheep. It used to be a three-quarter curl. Now it's gone up to a full curl. And in some places, I think there's talk or they have gone up more than that. I'm not real sure about that. The moose tags are now presently $200. $300 seems to me just to be quite inexpensive to people. We're speaking of non-resident hunters here that are spending huge amounts to get up here to hunt for these animals, and I would urge adoption of it. It just makes sense to me.
Representative Moss.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the Resource Committee substitute, and I might tell you one of the reasons I rise in support of it, because it does have an amendment in there that has to do with military personnel. For many years, the area in which I live has Fort Greely, of course, and it was known as a rod and gun club of the military. I'm sure there may be some of you that recall a number of years ago when the Taylor caribou herd, the massacre of the Taylor caribou herd, for example. About 3 out of every 4 vehicles that you saw on that highway during the so-called massacre of the caribou herd had military-based stickers on it. Now, that's one of the reasons that I'm supportive of this, because I see that amendment in there that places a fiscal restriction to some degree on those people who are not really permanent residents in the state but are only here during military assignments. I also have no opposition to the increase in the non-resident tags, because I think that in the day of the short funds that we have here now, it's funding that will perhaps help the fish and game people do some of the things that we need to improve our wildlife and our hunting. I don't think that anyone who is seriously considering a good hunt would object to a tag like that. I've flown out there too, and I've flown as an assistant guide and a pilot in these hunting camps and things, and I've never seen a single one of the hunters that came in as a non-resident complain about the price of the tags. Perhaps some have, but I'm not aware of it. I think this is a good amendment, and I think it addresses a problem that we've had for a long period of time, and it also tends to help the guiding industry out, which during the land claims problems that we had, I think they suffered quite a blow to their industry. And I am supportive of it, and I would urge the rest of the body here to vote for the amendment.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Resources Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 111 be adopted in lieu of the original bill? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 28 yeas, 9-7 nays.
The House Resources Committee substitute has been adopted in lieu of the original bill. Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Representative Fuller to page 2, line 26. Is amended to read, *67, this act takes effect January 1st, 1983.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
You ask unanimous consent?
Ask unanimous.
Is there objection to the adoption of amendment number one? Hearing none, amendment number one is adopted. Will clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment number two by Representative Cotton. To page 2, line 25, delete section 6.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to adopt an amendment.
There is objection. Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, this is an old subject for a lot of us, but it's been discussed on this floor many times. What section 6 does, 1605-340-A-20, is the $5 tag on king salmon. This has been in effect, I think, for about 3 years now. I think I have a collection of about three of those stamps in my pocket, similar to a duck stamp that people pay every fall when they're about to go hunting. They have to go out and buy a duck stamp. Well, the same thing with the king salmon stamp, as it presently is in Alaska right now. We have to purchase for $5 a stamp that allows us to fish for Alaska's state fish, the king salmon. The money, of course, goes into the Fish and Game Fund, and it's most often used for rehabilitation of king salmon habitat and other means of enhancing the numbers and the general well-being of the king salmon population throughout Alaska, not just in Cook Inlet, as some people have suggested that this law was originally passed for. The bill was introduced and passed a few years back at the request of the Alaska Sport Fishing Association. I've continued to receive encouragement from that organization, as well as other conscientious sport fishermen in my area who are proud to participate in rebuilding the king salmon stocks. They're proud to say that they're paying their part to fish for these beautiful creatures that we all like to chase around come springtime. In fact, many of us are hoping to get back to Anchorage in time to try to nail a few. If we take this away, I think that a few people will say, good, I don't have to pay that $5 anymore, but I think that many of us, me included, are willing to say that I'll pay my part, and I think that I, as a sport fisherman, deserve strong consideration when it comes to allocation of the king salmon stocks. And I think this is one way that we're showing that we're willing to pay for it. And I don't think $5 is really too much to pay to catch a fish that averages at least 25 pounds for a four-year fish. And we all know that some of these get up above 75 and 80 pounds. It's a matter of philosophy. Some people think we shouldn't pay as we go on this activity. I'm glad to do it, and I hope that the body will adopt the amendment that the amendment would continue the King Salmon Stamp Program.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd also speak in favor of that amendment, but I do want to point out a couple of things that I think are misconceptions. The production of the stamps, the administration of the stamps, the distribution of the stamps, the credit to licensing agencies costs $3.20 per stamp. The money goes into the general fund, and there is no assurance, in fact, that of course, as by our Constitution, that it does help enhance the particular species for which it's intended. And I might submit that it includes, of course, steelhead, and we don't have those programs. I think that it is important to note, and I too find that my constituents are very pleased with doing what they can to pay for the enhancement and propagation of species that are important to them. I think that that's an important thing about sport hunting, that people are, in fact, willing to pay for the management services and the propagation enhancement that they receive. I don't think that this, as much of this money as should, is going into the purpose for which this this fee was created. But I do, in fact, think that it's very important to delete this repealer and to leave that intact and to let the users, those who use the resource and are proud and pleased to do so, help continue to pay for it.
Representative Barnes.
Mr. Speaker, through you, a question, please, to the representative from Eagle River. I recall when this particular section in the statutes passed, memory serves me correctly, it relates to only one particular area of the state, South Central Alaska. I would like the representative from Eagle River to tell me whether or not that is correct.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, a little history on the bill, or on the law. When it was originally passed, there was an amendment that magically appeared that did exclude those areas south of Yakutat. The following year, that exclusion was removed, and now any person in Alaska who sport fishes for king salmon is required to pay the $5 tag fee.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. I did vote for Representative Cotton's bill a couple years ago on that, and I support it. I still support it, and I don't know what it'll do to the bill, but hopefully it'll go.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to oppose the amendment and to support the language that's in the bill. The fact is, this is the reason I'm voting for the bill. Mr. Speaker, in a year, even in an austere year, when we've got billions to spend, and before we get out of here, we're going to spend billions. When we've got billions to spend, do we really have to nick a king salmon fisherman $5, $3 of which goes for administration? This legislature in the last 4 years has made a consistent pattern of trying to get rid of nuisance taxes, and particularly for fishermen in southeast Alaska who have to get one of these stamps even if they're not really fishing for king salmon. If you're going to fish in salt water, you just almost have to have one because you might accidentally catch a king salmon. But if you're fishing for halibut, the cautious fisherman might even want one if he was fishing for Dolly Varden. But in any case, even if you're fishing for king salmon, it's a nuisance tax. Most of the cost of the tax goes for administration, information we just received that I had not received earlier, and I'm appreciative to the representative from Fairbanks for that information. And, Mr. Speaker, why have we gotten rid of all these other nuisance tax, refused to raise the tax on booze, and yet we're going to maintain this tax that just brings in a trifling amount? causes a lot of consternation among a lot of fishermen. I just really strongly oppose the amendment. I do support the repealer that's in the current legislation, and I hope we'll defeat the amendment.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise mostly as an opportunity to agree with our representative from Juneau, which I rarely have a chance to do. And I would recognize that it truly is a nuisance tax, and most of it is spent in the administration of the program. It's by specific area rather than statewide, which is another negative thing. But also I want to support the representative from Eagle River and his concern about King Silver Salmon Enhancement. And I would merely ask that if members of this body would go along with me in my endeavors towards the Fred Division, which has control of those enhancements, and we can get a little bit of the millions of dollars that go into the Fred Division to enhance sport fishing in the Cook Inlet area, we will accomplish far and above more than is possible under this $5 salmon tax, King Salmon tax.
Representative Abboud.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I support the representative from Eagle River on this. First time I've ever done it, but I do want to bring out to the body that there are those in this. I probably catch more king salmon on a rod and reel than anybody in this whole place. But I would say that I didn't expect to get that type of a reception for it. But there are some in this body, Mr. Speaker, who, because they can't catch king salmon, object to paying this tax. So I would say this is a very good thing. It's a very small price to pay for a very magnificent species of our fish that fellows like myself, who are experts in the field, can really get out and enjoy themselves. And those who catch one occasionally can help also. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 2 to the House Resources Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 111? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 19 nays.
The House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 2. Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment Number 3 by Representative Fanning. To page 2, line 13. Line 13, delete 150 and insert in its place 50.
Representative Fanning.
Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Of course, what this amendment does is this would leave the price of a wolf tag for non-residents at its current rate of $50. I would just point out that at $50 and given the chance of a non-resident taking a wolf on, which is normally taken incidentally to other species, that chance is very, very slim. And at the current price, it's pretty difficult in good conscience to try and urge somebody to buy a tag for something he's probably not going to see. And if he does see, he's going to be lucky if he's able to get a shot at or take. Given the fact that we know we have a problem with moose predation on our ungulate population, which is important to many residents and is important to all of us, this makes no sense whatever. I know that... I can't imagine anybody who in good conscience would come up here and gamble and pay $150 to try and take a moose, in lieu of the fact that we're spending lots of money in the state on predator control to ensure that those food animals have a better chance of survival doesn't make any sense to me. So I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, support this amendment. I think somebody went through, and I believe it was a representative from Bethel, gave us an indication of what the cost was of predator control. I don't know what those numbers came out to, but I thought it was somewhere at around $3,000 each cost for elimination of predator populations where they're found to be in conflict with the ungulate populations beyond a reasonable amount. I think this amendment is a reasonable amendment.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the amendment. In fact, to Venice, I'd like to see it go all the way to zero because it would certainly cut down on our predatory control costs.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to say a word on behalf of the wolves. That's what I was going to do, Mr. Speaker, but I didn't have the nerve. Mr. Speaker, I oppose this amendment and support the $150 figure for a couple of reasons. Number one, if some out-of-state hunter is going to come up here and he really wants to get a wolf, the extra $100 isn't going to affect him all that much. I mean, he's going to spend several thousand dollars coming up here for the hunt. And if wolf is one of the trophies that he's seeking to achieve, then certainly the extra $100 isn't going to be the decisive thing about it, particularly if he's willing to, you know, if it was zero, you might get a lot more people interested in hunting wolves, incidental to the catches. But if he's going to be, you know, so chintzy with his dough, he's not going to pay the $50 either. So I think the extra $100 isn't all that bad. Mr. Speaker, the reason I would like to see it in here at the $150 figure is that this retains the wolf as a true trophy animal and not just, you know, a critter that everybody wants to take a quick pot shot at first time they can get it in their sights. This establishes the fact that a wolf, like other big game species, is a worthy game animal, and it's not just some El Cheapo thing that we just want to get rid of. As a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, I'd submit to you that even among the people who wish to drastically reduce the wolf population, the thoughtful individuals in that community are not wanting to just drastically reduce wolves everywhere. And that's what the a very small fee precipitates. The Department of Game, even in its efforts to rid specific regions of what they consider to be oversized wolf populations in order to give the moose and for that matter, down here, deer and other populations a better chance, have always been site-specific. And at least in to their way of thinking, I think they feel like they're enjoying a fair degree of success. When we lower the hunting fee all across the state, we're not being site-specific. We are saying that anytime, anywhere, you see a wolf, he's fair game for your bullet. That he's not performing any useful purpose in the drama that is nature. And as a matter of fact, Mr. Speaker, even the people who are really strong for predator control programs in specific areas, most of them, I think, do admit that predators perform a valuable service for the most part all across the state. And I think by keeping the wolf listed as a full-fledged game animal, we encourage that concept that the wolf is, like every other element in nature, a valuable element, a valuable creature, and that from time to time, the Department of Fish and Game, or more specifically, the Board of Game, may decide that they've got an overpopulation problem in one area or another, just like they may decide they've got an overpopulation problem among moose or deer or anything else, and increase the number of sports hunting opportunities for those species. But I think it's foolishness for us to just simply decide that every wolf everywhere is a holdover from Little Red Riding Hood and really is a bad critter, when in real life they perform a viable service and should not be just indiscriminately shot.
Representative Rusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to speak against this amendment here. In my mind, probably one of the most dangerous predator that we have is a non-resident hunter. And if I had a choice between a wolf and a non-resident hunter, I would take the wolf. Therefore, I'd like that animal to have a little bit of dignity and at least be worth $150 as a big game animal.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd rise in opposition of the amendment also. In fact, I think we should put more money on the animal myself to retain his value as a big game animal. And I'd like to agree with Representative Grusendorf. I don't think many of these non-residents can come up here and hunt a wolf and be very successful anyway. My experience has been that if there's a wolf in the area, he's seen you a long time before you've seen him. And I think it's a bad concept of predator control at best.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think it's a concept of predator control, but I think there's some things that have been said that simply aren't true. For one thing, I think the success ratio in hunting wolves is probably well under 10%. The vast majority of the wolves taken in Alaska are trapped. With regard to opening up the hunting of wolves everywhere, of course, that's not true. Seasons and bag limits still apply. Wolves are totally protected in major areas of the state of Alaska. And as far as the prey species are concerned, I don't know which predator we would choose here, but as far as the prey species are concerned, I think based on the success rate, they would probably be rather be chased by a non-resident hunter than by a pack of wolves.
Representative Vasca.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to the amendment. I think that if, in fact, we are going to establish guidelines for regulating non-resident hunters, one of the guidelines we should have is that they pay for the privilege of hunting our fish and game, especially the wolf. I agree with my colleague from Juneau who spoke in opposition to this amendment. The wolf has, for a long time, been a very beleaguered animal, and yes, it has been able to survive in some parts of the lower 48. As we change the land patterns uses in this state, as private property becomes more prevalent, as the state begins to give away a lot of land, that part of the land that the wolf uses or the wolves use are becoming smaller and smaller. We should institute a policy in the state that if in fact we're going to sell our fish and game to non-residents, for whatever reason they use them for, whether it's just to kill an animal or whether it's to stuff it and stick it in their living room, we should have a policy saying that there are very few places in the country or in the world where wolves or other game are found, or fish for that matter. Instituting this kind of policy is saying that the state residents can and will use the fish and game in the state. This amendment is directed at non-residents. That does not preclude the control by residents, the hunting or trapping of wolves by residents or other fish and game. I ask members to vote against the amendment.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt Amendment Number 3 to the House Resources Committee Substitute for Sponsor Substitute for Senate Bill 111? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 5 yeas, 31 nays.
House has failed to adopt Amendment Number 3. Will the clerk please read the next amendment?
Amendment Number 4 by Representative Fanning. Page 2, line 1, delete 200, insert 100.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Being the astute individual that I am, I would ask that I may withdraw the rest of my amendments.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the balance of Representative Fanning's amendments, which would be designated as number 4 and number 5 on the clerk's desk, are withdrawn. Representative Cotton? House, please stand at ease. Come back to order. I'm going to ask the majority leader for a motion to recess until 1:15. People are leaving. The only way we can get enough back here to deal with some of these issues is to call the House, which doesn't seem the thing to do. I'd like to get everybody free to go to lunch, and we'll come back at 1:15. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess until 1:15.
Are there any announcements before the... The only announcement I have is that yesterday was Jim Duncan's birthday. 39, huh, Jim? 39? Without objection, the House stands in recess to 1:15. Order to establish a quorum. Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to indicate their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the roll.
The roll shows 29 members present.
Before the at ease, we were dealing with the House Resources Committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 111 in second reading. Are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker. No further amendments.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I move that we rescind our action of failing to adopt amendment number 2. Ask unanimous consent. Call the House.
There is a... There is objection, Representative Cotton. The House has been called. Will the Sergeant-at-Arms advise the pages to locate the missing members? Is there a debate on the motion to rescind? Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, just to clear up a couple of items that were that had been discussed earlier, I'm not sure that the figures were used were completely accurate when we talked about what it cost to administer this program. I've got here an audit that was ordered by the Budget and Audit Committee and completed last September by the Legislative Budget and Audit Division. And they show that in 1981, the net revenues from the program were $414,325, and the total direct expenditures amounted to $34,000. That's less than 10%, or less than 50 cents of each one of these stamps goes to direct overhead and expenses. They do, however, note that other costs, such as personnel time required to process and account for permits and revenues, were not readily identifiable. But no new personnel have been added to the licensing section since the permit requirement became effective. So there have been no new people put on board to handle this program. However, some of the people that are already there would have to spend some of their time handling the normal routine business that's associated with this permit program. In addition, there may have been some confusion about where these funds go. They do not go to the general fund. They do go to the Fish and Game Fund. That cannot be specifically earmarked for king salmon rehab or enhancement, but at least as much money as is generated by this program, at least this amount does go towards king salmon rehab. So the money is dedicated due to a grandfather clause that allows dedication of funds to the Fish and Game Fund. And again, it's in excess of $400,000. I thought that it would be important to bring those items up for the members' consideration.
Representative Sutcliffe.
Mr. Speaker, it was a long time since we were in that committee, and certainly I will, the representative from Kodiak can correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the main reasons why we decided to delete or repeal that law was not so much that the state or the Fish and Game Department could not use those funds in that particular fund. It was caused by the vendors who have to distribute these tags, complaining that it's a very cumbersome, burdensome task to do such a thing. It entails three different sets of books they must keep. They have to keep their own books. They have to keep the Fish and Game license books, and then they have to keep the stamp books. It's very time-consuming. It's costly. The amount of money that the vendors receive for the sale of these stamps is certainly does not cover in any way their expenses that they incur by having someone sit over at the desk and fill out forms and place the stamps on these tickets. So as I recall, it was more to the effect of trying to work with the vendors to try to expedite the policy, trying to make it easier on them for what is basically a service they provide rather than a source of income that they would receive.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This salmon stamp has been made more or less equivalent to the duck stamp, but believe me, there's quite a difference. When you go to the post office to receive your duck stamp, all the postmaster has to do is hand you that stamp. But when you go to a vendor who has to write the license out, not only has he his problems with filling out the license, but then also the forms for this stamp as well, which takes a lot of time. And granted, there hasn't been any increase in administration of this from the state's point of view, but it certainly has increased the problems with the people who are responsible for being the state's administration. So besides being a nuisance tax, the thing has also complicated for the people out there, the vendors. And you look at the programs, and most of it is very regionalized where the money goes. And that's why I object and want the stamp to be repealed.
Representative Cotton.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, just another point that Representative from Unalaska made, I think was a good one. The problems have been mitigated somewhat by simpler forms that the department is now using. Also, in response to a recommendation from the Budget and Audit Committee, one of their biggest hassles was they had to issue duplicate stamps if someone lost one. That's a practice that has been discontinued as of January 1, 1982, as a result of a recommendation by the Budget and Audit Committee. And in response to the member from Sitka, there is a chunk of the budget that does go to Southeast for rehab on the Taku River for king salmon stocks.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, we be briefly at ease.
The House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? The Sergeant of Arms advises me that the call has been satisfied. We have before us a motion by Representative Cotton that the House rescind its action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 2. Is there further debate, Representative Halford?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. When this added salmon stamp passed, I voted for it because I felt that it was a way to put more money in the Fish and Game Fund and provide better management for a resource that had pretty heavy utilization in the Anchorage area. I don't think the constituency really understood that, and there was an awful lot of flack about that permit. I think when it comes down to the amount of money you're talking about with regard to the overall state revenues, it's an insignificant amount. There is general fund now going into fish and game management, and I believe the people are paying for a service that's necessary. I think that service should be there. I think what it comes down to is just one more nuisance tax. It's a tax on individuals. I think the state can afford to give the people a $400,000 break. You get ready to go out to go hunting or fishing. You've got a hunting license, fishing license, salmon stamp, duck stamp, tags. It seems like you need to carry an extra pack just to carry all the requirements that you need to have with you.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I wouldn't call this a tax. It's not a tax. It's a user fee. And there's more to it than just the money. I think it's a showing, especially upon sport fishermen, that we are willing to participate in the enhancement of the king salmon stocks throughout the state. There was a question as to whether or not this applied to the entire state. Yes, it does. A couple of members that were absent said that they hadn't heard enough debate on it, so they still hadn't decided. Rather than to go through the whole thing again, I just would be very happy to respond to whatever questions they might have.
Is there further debate? Representative Miller?
Yeah, briefly, Mr. Speaker.
you know, I don't know whether you want to call it a tax or a user fee. To me, that's kind of like saying something is revenue enhancement isn't a raise in taxes. I mean, revenue enhancement is a raise in taxes. And if the fisherman has to take it out of his pocket and go to a place where they sell licenses, it's a tax, I think, to most people. It doesn't make a difference. It takes money, and that's what the people are objecting to. And I don't think it makes sense for us to impose taxes or fees or anything else just as an exercise in civics so that we can all say that we're participating in the process, especially in a year, as I say, Mr. Speaker, when next to last year we'll probably be spending more money than we've ever, you know, for other purposes than we ever have before. It's a good time to get rid of these nuisance fees, nuisance taxes, whatever we want to call them. Mr. Speaker, the original bill that came out of the other body, as a matter of fact, was included increases in the residents' fees or taxes in an amount equal to make up the loss that would be sustained through the loss of these stamps. In the House, of course, they've chosen not to impose that burden on residents, and I think it was probably a wise choice. But the fact is that the increased fees in the fisheries here, my understanding is, are sufficient to make up for any loss that's involved here. So I just think it makes no sense when we're increasing the fees to make up for the loss of the license tags, for us to, you know, continue to leave those license tags or license fees, license taxes, whatever we want to call them, in there. I think it's just not necessary, and it is a nuisance, and it's something I don't think most people in the state appreciate paying.
Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House rescind its action in failing to adopt Amendment Number 2? Amendment Number 2 is the deletion of Section 6. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Moss? Is it Moss from Nota? Yes. Clerk, may take the roll.
The roll shows 17 yeas, 23 nays.
The motion to rescind our action in adopting Amendment Number 2 has failed. Are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Hofford.
I move and ask unanimous consent that House Resources Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 111 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third time?
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 111, Resources, amended House, entitled An Act Relating to Fishing and Hunting Licenses, Big Game Tags, and Fishing Permits, and Providing for an Effective Date.
Is there debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House Resources Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 111, amended House, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Representative Carney? Representative Carney from yes to no. Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 31 yeas, 9 nays.
House Resources Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 111, amended House, has passed the House. Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call and final passage of House Resources Committee substitute for Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 111 be considered the roll call and the effective date clause.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Will the clerk please read the next item on the day's calendar?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 299 by the Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Relating to Elections. The State Affairs Committee had committee substitute for Senate Bill 299 under consideration. The committee recommended replace with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 299 entitled An Act Relating to Elections and Providing for an Effective Date. The committee recommended due pass. Due pass was signed by Representative Abood, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Brown, Fanning, and Metcalf. Judiciary Committee had committee substitute for Senate Bill 299 under consideration. The committee recommended it be replaced with the State Affairs House Committee substitute and that it do pass. The due pass was signed by Representative Barnes, Chairman, concurred in by Anderson, Freeman, Phillips, and Meekins.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House State Affairs Committee substitute is adopted in lieu of the original bill. Does the clerk have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number one by Representative Rogers is to page 2, line 27, begins delete section 4 and insert the following. I believe this has been distributed to all members.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment would change the definition of political party throughout Title 15, effective next January 1st. And the immediate effect it would have would be that the third party in this body, the Libertarian Party, would become a recognized political party, which would mean that in future elections, they too would have to go through the primary election. We have a situation in the district I live in, Mr. Speaker, where there are three members of that political party all wanting to seek the office, but they can't go on the primary ballot because they're not a political party. It's possible, of course, that that party would fit the existing definition after next November if their candidate for governor receives 10% of the total vote cast. To my knowledge, Mr. Speaker, the only party that would be added by this amendment would be the Libertarians. Originally, I had intended to do it with an immediate effective date, but was requested by one of the representatives from that party in here not to have an immediate effective date. An immediate effective date would have put them on the primary ballot this year. Mr. Speaker, I believe that the 10% for governor, that some kind of a limit like that is worthwhile for a political party to establish itself. However, I think that one that can get 10% of the vote for president is at least as legitimate as one that gets 10% of the vote for governor. In fact, right now in the state we have three recognized political parties under the existing definition, because in the last election the Democrats received at least 10% of the vote, the Republicans received at least 10% of the vote, and a third political party, which is called Alaskans for Kelly in Poland, is a recognized political party. Or could be if they represented a political program, because they did receive at least 10% of the votes cast. In addition, there was a write-in, which wouldn't be affected by this. So I would strongly urge members to vote yes for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there further debate? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall the House adopt amendment number one to the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 299, State Affairs? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their vote? Clerk may take the roll.
The roll shows 27 yeas, 11 nays.
Amendment number one has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Point of order.
I think that the vote tally on the board is 28-10, and she said 27-11, so I'd point that out.
Will the record show that the vote tally was 28-10? Amendment number one has been adopted. Thank you, Representative Cotton. Are there further amendments? Representative Meekins?
We have a short ease, please.
House, please stand at ease. Will the clerk please read amendment number two?
Amendment number two by Representative Malone, page 1, line 9, add a new section to read, section 1525060. I believe this has also been distributed to all members.
Representative Malone?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The amendment has been distributed to all members. I would move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 2.
There is objection. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment would reinstitute in state law the Alaska primary system, which would turn the primary elections back into what they're supposed to be, which is an election for the various political parties to determine through a democratic process who their candidates will be in the general election. It's not a closed primary system. Anyone may vote, but they would have to make a choice as to which party they were selecting candidates in. I would urge the House to adopt the amendment. I believe, Mr. Speaker, your party and my party as well have endorsed a return to the Alaska primary system, and this could be in effect for the upcoming election.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That is correct. Resolutions have been adopted at both the Republican and Democratic Party conventions supporting the true primary system. Mr. Speaker, the purpose of the primary is for a party to choose its candidates. What we have right now and will have this year is a third party coming in and being able to act as spoilers in the primary. They can come in and vote to choose another party's candidates. And while that has backfired on people in the past, often members of a third party will try to say that this is who the Republicans ought to have as their nominee or who the Democrats ought to have as their nominee. And this true primary system here would allow a person to choose which party's primary they wish to vote in. They could vote in any one of the three or more if more parties get involved in the primary. And I would strongly urge members to vote yes in accordance with the wishes of both the major political parties in the state.
Representative Fanning.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would support this amendment. And I would like to point out for the information of the body that we have absolutely no intention of being spoilers during the primary, just during the general election.
Representative Malone.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I want to make something clear. This would not propose a closed primary system, and if individuals or groups of people wish to vote in a primary, the candidate, the party of which was not their party of affiliation, they certainly would be entitled to do that under the Alaska primary system or the return to the Alaska primary system. But I think that, you know, most people, I think, probably have observed over the years while groups try to do that, pretty much that sort of thing cancels itself out in the selection of the primary candidates anyway. So this would just be in accord with the basic idea of a primary, which is endorsed at present by apparently all three fairly well-recognized political parties in the state.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, it may be endorsed by the active people in the political parties in the state. Of course, all the parties in the state only represent a minority of the total people in the state, and the people active in those parties is even a smaller percentage. I think the problem with this is that if you go back to the last gubernatorial election, in the primary, about 75% of the people voted on the Republican side because there was a very interesting race over there. If that same kind of thing happened, if, for instance, there was a strong candidate on the Democratic side, way ahead of everybody, so there wasn't much race, but there was an interesting race on the Republican side, everybody that wanted to vote for that gubernatorial candidate, and let's say it was 75% of the voters again, would have to stay on that column. And that means that those of us that would be running on the Democratic side would only have 25% of the vote to choose from, or there'd only be 25% of the vote that would be able to choose among those candidates. I think that really skews the possible election a lot worse than the current situation, where it is true that people, some organized group, can decide to vote for a weaker candidate so that in the general, that the strong candidate has been knocked out. That is a problem with the way the math works under the current situation. But if you force everybody to stay in that column, you've disenfranchised independent voters who may like, for instance, a Republican gubernatorial candidate, but who might want to vote for some Democrat running on a different ticket somewhere down farther on the ballot, for instance, for state senate or state house or even Congress, something like that. You disallow people that ability to vote for whoever they think is the best candidate. So I think that's a that's a real problem. It's not as big a problem maybe if you had a totally closed election in both cases. That'd be even worse, I think, especially in a state where 55% of the people are registered independents. But I still think you're going to cause tremendous dislocations and disenfranchisement of people who would like to vote for a certain candidate and can't because for the governor's race, which is the most important, they happen to choose one political party that they may not even belong to, but now they can't go back over and vote for a Democrat or even a Libertarian of their choice because they perhaps voted for a Republican for governor. So I think it's a big problem.
Representative Herbert.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, rise in opposition to this amendment. It seems to me that, like my colleague to the right here, that it would put a lot of people out that had favorites on both sides of the political parties. I think this might be a good amendment for those people down in Mississippi, but I don't believe it would be good for Alaska.
Representative Hoffman,
can we have our knees, please?
House, please stand at ease. House, please come back to order. Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Immediately upon a motion to recess, there will be a majority coalition caucus in the Speaker's chambers.
Representative Grusendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Immediately on that motion, there will be a Democratic caucus in the Butrovich room.
Representative Hofford.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand in recess to call the chair.
Is there objection? Hearing none, the House stands in recess to call the chair.